Welcome to the Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms is a tremendous devotional book. And Lord willing, I want to start doing a chapter from the Book of Psalms. And over the course of looking at each chapter, I will endeavour to remind you of the previous chapter to keep some things in context where applicable. But I do pray that you would get your Bible and follow with me in the Book of Psalms. Book of Psalms is a book that you should meditate on, and there are some tremendous passages in the Book of Psalms which most of us should know or be reminded of, such as Psalm 23. And what we're going to do today is I want to look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is if not, or still one of the most, it's the most beloved or famous piece of scripture in your Bible. It has 6 verses. It has full of promises and instruction. And so I do believe if we start here and read the Book of Psalms, we can get this whole thought on a devotional thought. And maybe you could use each chapter as a devotional moment as we put these up online where they can be available. So let's read here in Psalm chapter 1. I hope you can read with me. So the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but unlike the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I think it's worth pointing out that blessed is the man, a man or a woman who has received Jesus Christ and believed on his finished work and atonement and have asked him to be their personal saviour, is definitely a person that's been blessed by the wonderful gift of salvation that God gives us. A person who is lost is quite simply someone who at this point of time has not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and that would be from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. I would encourage you to learn those passages dealing with belief and lost and the glorious gospel of Christ. But without getting away from the context of Psalm 1, the psalmist David here, he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." So immediately he gives instruction on our walk. And he very much makes it very clear not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You understand that, like at any other time, we live in a very dark age or dark moment until Jesus returns. And before you were saved, you probably, like me, followed the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, and we were influenced by the counsel of the ungodly. But when you got saved, the Bible says that old things passed away and all things became new. And you had a new desire now for the Word of God. And of course, now the idea is that our counsel is to get it from the precepts of the Word of God, which we have in front of us. And so he says, "Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly." So therefore, the ungodly have a path. The believer also has a path, and he has a way that he should follow. And David goes on, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." And if you think about your standing now, is that your standing is in Jesus Christ, your destiny is heaven, and now you're no longer a sinner, you've been washed by the precious blood of Christ. That blood that Christ shed for our sins on the cross is known as the propitiation of our sins, not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Meaning that the blood appeased the wrath of God, and also the blood of Christ redeemed us and purchased us, washed us, made us clean, and we were able to receive the righteousness of God by faith. And that's a wonderful thing, that when you receive Jesus Christ, God imputed his righteousness to you. So the idea then that we don't need to stand in the way of sinners. I can say that without a shadow of doubt or in my mind that I'm saved. And it's a good thing to tell other people that you know you are saved and that you know that you're going to heaven. And you don't need to live in a world of doubt. You don't need to live in a follow the skeptics of the world, but be bold in your understanding that you've been redeemed, you've been bought, and it all happened very quickly that moment you believed. So therefore, we don't need to stand in the way of sinners. I remember when I got saved, I went around to tell my friends about the salvation that I had found, and yet they didn't want to receive that. And that changed my standing with them. It wasn't that I didn't want to not be friends with them. They just didn't want to stand with me because I didn't understand what salvation is in Jesus Christ and the love we have for the Word of God. So he says, stand not in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. I think there's a real problem that as a believer you should be careful of getting mixed up with the governments and the politics of this world. Understand that this world is not run by believers but by skeptics. They're skeptical, and even more so now there's very little reference to God. There's a very, very little reference to the fear of God. So we need to understand that we sit in a different seat, and that seat is not the seat of the scornful. So there's some instruction here that as a believer I think you should take, and I think you should meditate upon that and ask the Lord to instill those thoughts in your mind, in your heart, that you can then walk according to the instruction David gives us here. Then he goes on and he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And this is one of the reasons we don't stand in the way of sinners, nor sit up in the seat of the scornful, nor take the counsel of the ungodly, because our delight now is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So it's important to make sure you have a moment in the beginning of the day, through the day, maybe at the end of the day, where you take and you meditate day and night on the Word of God. And of course, there's from the instruction of meditation, there comes a promise of fruit here, where he says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice that the tree is planted by the rivers of water. Without water, there is no life. There's a tree called the Red River Gum. It's a tree that's found in South Australia near the Flinders Ranges. Often you see it on these dried up riverbeds, yet their roots go way down deep under to where the water is, where it's soaked down through the sandy soils. The interesting thing about those trees, that some of them are almost 900 years old. And of course, why? Because they're getting life from that water. You as a believer need the water from the Word of God. It's water to our hearts and our minds and our souls, being washed in the water of the Word. So you need water. Now, water obviously also helps them for things to grow. And notice that from the promise here that you'll bring forth your fruit in your season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, maybe as you meditate on the Word of God day and night, have you ever thought as you have your mind cleaned by the Word of God through the washing of the water, that you become refreshed, and through that refreshment, you could be a refreshment to others. And it's because you have spent time, there meditating, and it might be a time then that God will use for someone else. Normally what God gives us is never for ourselves, it's always for someone else anyhow. But notice the promise, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I think there's a very key thing here, because you then get spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding. This gives you also discernment. And discernment is a great thing of what decisions you need to make. If without the right discernment and without the right wisdom, you can make the wrong decision. Have you ever realized that a decision can be somewhat fatal in some areas, and the right decision can produce the right outcome? So it's very important to look at the idea then that whatsoever he shall do prosper. It's also even more important when you think that the wisdom is not from the ungodly, but it's from the godly. And then he goes on in verse 4, and the Bible says, and the ungodly are not so. So they're not going to prosper. They're not going to be a refreshment necessarily to others, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So when you approach Psalm 1, think of the instruction and the meditation and the idea that God then can lead you by the Holy Ghost through the wisdom you get from his word, and that you might be a refreshment to others. Understand that you will sit not in the seat of the scornful, but you will stand for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. You'll be one of his, and being a child of God, a light in this dark world. So as you read Psalm 1, I do encourage you to maybe learn these six chapters. I can't make you meditate. That's up to you. But I encourage you to meditate on Psalm 1 and also learn it. And of course, this will also help with the chapters coming up in the book of Psalms. And I do pray that, Lord willing, that these chapters can be an encouragement to your heart and your mind as a believer. And maybe at the end of it, it gives God the glory. And we are thankful that we have the opportunity to do that.